In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Demonte, this gospel was written for you. This is your gospel. She agrees. You know, when you get married, you do so with the greatest and the most laudable intentions. You're going to turn your house into a small church. You're going to live husband and wife as though you were king and queen. You're going to raise children in the faith. You are going to see them grow, be educated, become responsible members of society, and in turn, they themselves marry. And you look forward then to the grandchildren that you will also help raise and nurture. Why so many divorces then? Why so many divorces in society? Why? And the reason is a simple one. The people didn't really count the cost. They didn't count the cost. What's the cost going to be? Well, I'll tell you the most painful price that you have to pay. It's your ego. It's the most punishing, the most laborious task is ridding yourself of your own ego. What you think, I think it should be this way. And then someone else says, well, I think it should be a little bit different. And then the argument begins. And when things like that occur in a house, it becomes so corrosive that the Lord has said it very clearly with respect to the devil. A house divided against itself cannot stand. And that's so true. That's so true. So there are two things that I want to bring up, and that is endurance. When you are in a war, the war may go against you at certain points, and you may lose your willingness to fight. You may get depressed. You may feel as though that in this war, you are taking more pain than your opponent. You may feel as though everything is unbalanced, that the playing field is not level and it is to your everlasting disadvantage. And you question yourself, why didn't I see this? Why didn't I see what I was going to take on? Well, the Lord will ask you the same thing. What was it that you gave for the reason to get married in the first place? What did you say to yourself? What tipped the scale in balance, saying, I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to live with them side by side until our departure from this earth. Think about that time. How much more information would you have needed to have made a different decision? Or were you so imbalanced in your own sense of what was important that things that were initially important when you became old turned out to be very much less important? How much was physical beauty? How much was money or position or power? How much was anything that you might have taken into consideration before you made the decision to marry? When you become a Christian, Demonte, when you become a real Christian, it's marriage. It's marriage of the highest degree. And if you are willing to say, I would die for my family, I would die for my children, then you must also be able to say, even before that, I am willing to die for my Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, it's not often that any of us are ever asked that question, but the real question that we're asked every single day is, am I going to put my ego forth before the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people in our community, the Diocese of Los Angeles, how many ate turkey on Thanksgiving? Just that. Just that one thing. Do you know how pathetic and pitiful that is? Do you know that's the kind of thing, it's like chomp on the leg of turkey, in your face, God, or Holy Church, in your face. You know how many people do that? I make the joke about it every year. When I look out over the congregation, I say, I don't see any Indians, I don't see any pilgrims. What does Thanksgiving have to do with you so much as eating turkey on the 25th or the last Thursday of November, actually. We begin our fast on the 25th. But just that little thing. See, and think about when I say these things, how it rankles people. Why is he picking on something like this? This is a really small thing. Why would he mention this small, small thing? Because it's in the small things where you're given away. You're given away. How important is the thing to you? How meaningful is it? Marriage with Jesus Christ means espousal. In Greek, Jesus is called Nymphaeus, the bridegroom. The bridegroom. We collectively are the bride of Christ, whether male or female. We are collectively the bride of Christ. This is his church, and he has given his life for it. And when men and women get married, the husband is commanded by the Lord from the mouth of the priest to remind him that the Lord gave his life for the church, and he is to give his life for this family, this nascent family. So it's not whether we get married or we don't get married, it's whether we honor it. Now, I'm going to speak and move on, because I want you to understand when he gives the final symbolism. He's talking about salt. You all know what salt is. Salt is a preservative. It's a preservative. Well, if the salt is no longer capable of preserving itself, if the salt is no longer capable of preserving itself, it's like the Word of God that has come inside you and it doesn't last very long, but it turns out to be nothing. The Word of God in you is the preservative. And the preservative that is within you, you may share and then help preserve someone else. But if the salt has lost its savor, how then will it be seasoned? I can preach until I'm blue in the face to somebody who just doesn't really care that much. They pay lip service to it. But when it comes down to doing it, hey, come on over to my house for Thanksgiving. We're going to watch the 3 football games that are on, well, 4 if you have Prime. We're going to watch the football games, and then we're going to eat the turkey, we're going to have the pumpkin pie, and we're going to have the stuffing, and we're going to have candy yams. No, let's do that. Let's do that. Because why? Well, everybody else is doing it. That's right. That's right. Nothing you have preserved within yourself, and nothing that you can help somebody preserve within themselves. You can't preserve yourself. You can't preserve anyone else. The salt has lost its savor. How then will it be seasoned? It is henceforth good for nothing to be, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Think of it. Think of it. DeMonte, if you accept to be baptized in the church, you are accepting all of this, not for a day or two. In my experience, almost, at least in the beginning, like the first 20 years of my priesthood, everybody was going to be coming into the church who who was an American, a quote, those are quote marks in the air if you can't see them, an American was going to join the church. So, talk to this guy. This guy will make you a Christian. I can't think but of maybe one or two marriages are successful out of all of them. And I can only think of one, Nicholas and Raheel Metz. That's the only one I can think of for right now. And I look around, I go, well, where else? Well, and this stuff is like 1980. You know, so I'm not talking about you and Jerry. Although Jerry has said certain things. No, I don't want to create difficulty in your relationship. I'm just trying to say that people come in with good intentions all the time. And you've heard that aphorism said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Everybody has good intentions. Nobody just walks around being evil. Well, some do, but few. But it's so important that we hold precious like jewelry. We hold it tight. You know, women have things called jewelry boxes. You know, not a jewelry place, a jewelry box. It's a word. It almost goes together. Jewelry box. And they put all their stuff in this box. Why? Why? That's the same thing about the Word of God that should be in your heart, in your soul. That is your jewelry box. That's the real jewelry box. I was raised entirely the wrong way. Entirely the wrong way. Did you just hear about the life of St. Gregory that we prayed in the Cynic Psalm? Did you hear about all of the education the man had before he was baptized as an adult? That's preparation. Me was grabbed me by the arm, come here, I'm going to dunk you in the tank. Okay, boom, you're a Christian. The only thing I had to buy was new underwear. That's it. It's all about the arts and the rose required. Brand new t-shirt, brand new pair of skivvies. That was it. But think what Gregory, he went from place to place. He look what he learned in Lebanon. And then after Lebanon, he went to Alexandria. The greatest repository of knowledge in the entire world was the library at Alexandria, which the stupid Muslims burnt to the ground. All right? Stupid people always burn books. They always burn books. The most corrupt and the most stupid people always burn books. Always. Everywhere they go. Everywhere they go. But the point is, for us who hear the Word of God every week, who take inside ourselves this deep marriage, a marriage that is so deep. I once had a seminar on D.H. Lawrence as one of a master's class. You know, when you're in college, when I was in college, you had 200, 300, and 400 classes. You know, there was the number 400, four something or other. And that meant you were a senior. But the 500 classes were for the seminar classes. And I had a seminar class in D.H. Lawrence. And he talks about a man and a woman conjoining in the marriage bed. And he said it is almost like that their blood streams are connected except for one tiny membrane. Straight out, D.H. Lawrence. You don't have to read the book, I just told you. But with Jesus Christ, that membrane is broken. You take the body and the blood of Jesus Christ within you, and it suffuses your entire body. That's why if you're a young man, you've been told after you take communion, don't shave, don't get a haircut, don't cut your fingernails. I don't know what they tell women. But men, they tell this too. Don't do this. Because you might lose some blood. You might lose a little bit of blood. And in that blood will be... We used to joke in the monastery when I was there. And the joke was, you can't kill a mosquito because the mosquitoes have been sucking the blood of saints. And if you kill one of those, you'll spill the blood, incidentally, of Jesus Christ. That's kind of like a Jurassic Park kind of a thing. Except they're not encased in amber. They're just flying around. But think about it. You're going to get married, DeMonte, really married. More married than you are in flesh to Myrna. More married when you are baptized. When we baptized Amelia last week, she is married. She has a Nymphaeus. She has a bridegroom. She doesn't know him in the way that we know him, but she knows him in perhaps a superior way. Because it does not depend upon words. It doesn't depend upon any other thing that experience is going to produce by way of physical knowledge. It's just, he's mine, I'm his. He's mine, I'm his. And it's the most wonderful and the most beautiful thing of all. But remember, you must keep these things. If the salt has lost its savor, it's not good for anything. Don't let us, anyone, depart from the right way. Glory be to our God, both now and ever and under the age of all ages. Amen.